So to kick it off with a bit of context of how the public perceives the health impacts of climate change, we are honored to have Connie Roser Renoff from the George Mason University Center for Climate Change Communication, which is located in Northern Virginia. Connie is an associate research professor at the center, and her research focuses on understanding how diverse audiences use, interpret, and respond to information on the issue of climate change. The objective of her work is to identify effective communication strategies that inform and engage the public while contributing to the theoretical literature on science communication, risk communication, and social marketing. So Connie, I'll let you take it away.
Thanks, Victoria. Can you hear me okay? Do I sound all right?
You sound good.
Great. Okay. I'm going to talk to you today about the American public's understanding of the impacts of climate change on human health, and specifically people's understanding of its impacts on heat-related illnesses. And if I were to give this talk a subtitle, it would be, "They Don't Know Much." Americans are more inclined to think about climate change as affecting polar bears than people, particularly people in the U.S. And I want to start this talk by reminding all of us of a basic principle of effective communication. If we focus solely on what we believe it's important for the audience to know, we're more likely to fail in our communication efforts. Effective communication has to begin with the audience, with understanding the audience, their interests, their informational needs, their values, what sources of information they trust. And that kind of information, that understanding, helps us frame messages, target our audiences appropriately, choose appropriate message content and sources, and provide people with information they need in a form that they're more likely to accept. I'm going to try to help you with that by talking about some audience research. We at George Mason have been collaborating with folks at Yale on the Climate Change in the American Mind research program since 2008. We've been tracking Americans' climate change-related beliefs, values, and behaviors in biannual surveys, and we've segmented the American public into six audience segments that I'll talk about later. Last fall, our survey focused on Americans' understanding of the health threats associated with climate change, and it's mostly data from that survey that I'll be presenting to you today. Most Americans say they've thought about how global warming might affect people's health not much or not at all. That's 60% of the public, and only 10% say they've given it a lot of thought. And these figures are probably overestimates given people's general unwillingness to tell survey researchers that
it's related to climate change and health, including water quality,
obviously care a lot about. But Americans are ready to accept information on the health effects
and a basic climate change and public health 101.
To think the effects will be negative. We ask them to rate how good or bad global warming.
Developing tools has been an important service that we can provide.
Close to two-thirds said it will be bad. Almost a third said they
sound extreme heat toolkit, which I will be talking about in more detail soon, to help local public health emergency
harmed over the coming decade. 17% said the health of people in their own household is being harmed, and over a quarter.
And the Minnesota Climate Change Vulnerability Assessment that I'll describe later. We partner with universities, national, state, and local agencies to research.
We asked people in a closed-ended question.
Health. One of our projects is working with the National Weather,
most of which are associated with climate change, whether they expect these health threats to increase over the coming decade or not, if not.
For example, we've developed protective health strategies.
And you can see here that between 20 and 40% of the respondents said all these health problems will become more common.
Institutions interested in planning for climate change. We've helped several counties and cities use GIS to map vulnerable populations in their communities.
But many also said they anticipate increases in health problems that are unrelated to climate change. Here you can see almost 30% said flu is going to increase due to climate change. 22% said infections with Ebola will increase. And
our motto is we all do better when those that are less fortunate do better. Climate change disproportionately impacts people who are poor, people of color, or people who have pre-existing diseases or illnesses. So it is important that we utilize our resources in a way that benefits the people who
you just saw on the prior slides. Before they saw that, we asked them, in your view, what health problems related to global warming are Americans experiencing, if any? And the answers here then reflect what they could come up with unprompted. So
that's the climate change.
Over half, that's 57%, either left the question blank or wrote that they didn't know. Only one in four.
Don't think about it like this. Central Minnesota is warmer than Florida and Texas. But Minnesota's
something about heat or cold, temperature impacts. So I found that very surprising given that
our ecosystems. In July 2012,
global warming rather than climate change, I would have
expected because of the hot temperatures.
Than what we see here. We also
an association between the average summer temperatures in Fahrenheit in orange and the rate of emergency
departments. If so, who these people were. Two-thirds either gave no answer or they said no one is more vulnerable than anyone else. But I'm sure that all of you listening to this webinar today are well
aware. In 2011, there were 1,250
affect some populations than others.
1,198 visits due to heat.
Personal preparedness and for willingness to support society.
2001 and 2012, there were 42 deaths.
Lack understanding of the threat are less likely to protect themselves.
Minnesota. We determined that one of the best ways we could
help them. So these are results of a regression analysis. The numbers you see are standardized regression coefficients, and they vary from 0 to 1 with higher numbers indicating stronger relations
reduce heat-related morbidity and mortality, MDH developed the Minnesota Extreme Heat Toolkit.
Knowing the health impacts of climate change and knowing the vulnerable groups, that is the responses to the open-ended questions, that's the strongest predictor of taking appropriate actions during extreme heat, staying in cool spaces and staying hydrated and things like that.
To increase the planning for these events as well. Toolkit was developed by working with several partners, including
and predictors of adaptive behavior,
Minnesota, and local public health. We were particularly interested in having emergency planners and local public health participate in the development, as they were able to help us understand
officials like Obama, the Congress, government agencies. That's also strongly predicted by knowledge and by perceptions of the severity and likelihood of harm. Both here, in my own community, in
saying a planner needs to prepare for extreme heat events and focuses on practical, implementable steps in
health agencies at the federal, state, and local
level. It includes an introduction of extreme heat events in Minnesota.
Action, that's not surprising. But indirectly, what that means is that all four of the variables on the left increase support for funding by increasing the support for the desire for a government response. And then severity and probability of harm, where you see the direct arrows, have direct
several appendices, including a draft heat response plan
through support. So the conclusion here is that knowledge matters. If we increase people's understanding,
it contains a list of strategies that can be implemented to prevent heat-related illnesses and deaths. This is just a few of the strategies found in the toolkit. We recognize
look at health perceptions among global warming six Americans.
All the strategies. Plans at the local level depend on local resources, constraints, and vulnerable populations within the
values and behaviors. And we've been tracking those groups that
can be tailored to meet local needs.
Belief in global warming, they're the most concerned, the most motivated to take action. The groups on the right.
Olmsted County and the City of Minneapolis. It shows the elements in the response plan as well as strategies. This was important to demonstrate the tool.
They think that global warming is real, but they don't think it has any
areas in Minnesota, making it relevant to everyone.
Topic one way or another. An easy way to understand the differences among the segments is that understand
of vulnerable populations and environmental characteristics. The maps focused on the elderly,
something like a U-shape, with the middle segment,
buildings with air conditioning, location of public air conditioned spaces, impervious services as a proxy for the heat island effect, and more. The map on your
alarmed are certain that global warming is happening while virtually not
Minneapolis, demonstrating where the urban heat island
understanding that humans are causing global warming. 90% of the alarmed get it, 6% of the dismissed.
The map on your right shows the percentage of residential buildings with air conditioning and the percent of people who live at or below the poverty line. It is interesting to note that there is a slight association between the percent of people below the poverty line and the percent of buildings with central air conditioning. The greater the percentage of poverty, the less likely it is to have central air conditioning in buildings. A limitation to this data is that we do not know which residential units are using window air conditioners. The city of Minneapolis used the maps to determine
easily changed my mind about global warming. What that means about the middle segments is that it's hard
and that lacked resources to cope with extreme heat.
The minds on the issue because they're so uncertain, but it's hard.
Because the toolkit was
they don't think about it and aren't interested. And then when they come across another message on the issue, say from a climate skeptic, they're likely to change their minds again. And that highlights the importance of message repetition. You know, Victoria said at the beginning, simple message.
MDH presented the toolkit to local public health professionals.
Courses, and this shows you why. Those middle
video conference. The video conference hosted 20
with them. Let's look at barriers to
the video conference. Additionally, when the Minnesota Extreme Heat Toolkit was released, it was featured in several articles
about the issue. 3/4 of the disengaged say they have trouble understanding news about global warming. But notice that even among the alarmed, close to 1/4 agree with that statement. Majorities of the disengaged, doubtful, and dismissive
said at several public health conferences. When Minnesota began its work on extreme heat, only 2 health departments in Minnesota
reporting on the issue is biased.
All hazards plan. Now over 8 local public
exceptions among the segments. Recall earlier
and or a heat response plan. The Minnesota Extreme Heat Toolkit can be used as a basis to develop your own extreme heat toolkits. We encourage people to take whatever might be useful to their jurisdiction.
That is, they rated it -3.
Of your communities and your assets and vulnerabilities.
Very bad. Half of the concerned did, and 15% or fewer of the other segments.
That is available for free on our website. The Extreme Heat Events module is a 1-hour, fully scripted presentation intended for public health professionals and the public to increase their awareness of the intersection of climate change.
Okay. Close to 70% of the alarmed said heat strokes will increase, and 60% of the concerned. But in the open end,
it can be tailored to meet your organization's audiences.
Mentioned heat-related illnesses. You can see there 7%, 4% of the concerned, and 1% of the remaining 4 segments. On the economic and demographic characteristics associated with vulnerability, the other open-ended question, we see that less than 1/4,
which we call the profile report, and the Minnesota Climate Change Vulnerability Assessment. The profile refers
to the effects of climate change.
The indirect and direct health outcomes of climate change in Minnesota.
Its impact is highest among the alarmed and the concerned.
Uses projections, not just historical data, to
decide. You can see that 60% of the alarmed
did talking about projections. We grounded our discussion
problem associated with climate change, but 16% of them also gave an inaccurate response. Lots of people continue to confuse the ozone hole with climate change and their fears about other health threats, like Ebola, for example.
Resistance of climate change. Obviously, like we've talked
about, already worrying about the subject of climate change. So there's lots of room here for clarification and education among all the segments, including among the alarm
radio, and we ended up delaying the release of the profile report to maximize our impact. Minnesota,
you can do is to get them to talk to their friends in
Minnesota in February, and they wanted to highlight the public health impacts of climate change on one specific day. We gave
communication is much more effective than mediated communication.
So they could read the report and interview people before they...
Since you can't rely solely on interpersonal communication, let's look at sources. Now, trust in information sources on the health problems related to global warming.
We also provided a few newspapers a copy of the embargo.
Over a dozen different sources, and I'm just showing you a few of them here. As you can see, the
story. We even had an interview on TV. And to my knowledge, it is rare that a public health...
...armed 7% of the dismissive.
...star program's newsletter to broadcast the release. Evidence of our successful launch can be gleaned from the fact that...
...doctors there in the middle. You see less...
...our website since February of this year. In 2014,
and... ...mediated source that we talked about, or other than friends and family... So
hazards, extreme heat, air pollution, vector-borne diseases, flooding and drought, and vulnerable
polarization, but trust in a known health professional is less polarized.
And the occurrence of climate hazards at varying geographic scales across the state. MDH,
my guess thinking about this is that public health professionals
of a particular climate hazard with the corresponding vulnerable populations for extreme heat, air quality,
influence to primary care doctors,
produced two final composite maps, one combining all the climate hazards and one of all the vulnerabilities
of a health framing of climate change. We have a couple of experiments here that I wanted to
distort occurrence of climate hazards. The maps do not predict future occurrence of climate hazards.
Dismissive. These two experiments use similar...
The methodology to develop the vulnerability assessment and the data sources used are well described in the document and
paragraph essay, and this one
level. The assessment is meant to provide a baseline information for certain climate hazards and the populations vulnerable to those hazards. Our hope is that the
statement in the second paragraph, the third paragraph goes
institutions and community organizations to begin important discussions about the risk of climate change. To their
of it is health. The way respondents
affect everyone, including the most vulnerable, to ensure
highlighted in pink the sentences that they liked and in green the sentences that they didn't like. And when you look then here across the segments at the responses, their average number of positive and negative sentences, you can see that for the disengaged through the
report, to learn about their priorities and what they are doing to address climate change, to learn about
for the dismissive and for the doubt
assist them to plan and prepare for climate change. The audience for the listening sessions has been primarily related to public.
But then when you got to benefits, the benefits of taking action to protect people's health from climate change
and EMS staff. We've also had environmental
inclusion there ending up at a pretty neutral place, which for the dismissive are
Northeast, Northwest, Central, and South Central and
outcome that they didn't hate us at the end. And we can contrast that with health framing
slide. Please note that these are really
a health essay, a natural security essay, and an environmental essay. That
question we asked was, in your opinion, is climate change a threat to human health and well-being? And for
a larger extent than either of the other kind, where
if they answered yes, we asked, do you think that your organization should begin or continue to prioritize
every? It backfired. Health works better than national security.
We also asked, is your organization
health impacts of climate change, including the effects on heat-related illness, is very shallow, that even the most
concerned that did say yes, the top two respond
the health effects of climate change, people who understand the health impacts of global warming are more likely to be taking action to protect themselves during extreme heat.
Is the question we asked on what barriers do you face plan
health agencies to protect the public. Medical professionals are well-positioned to increase people's understanding of
do not have money or staff to work on this. The second response was lack of awareness. That
segments of the public that are skeptical about climate change or disengaged.
Problem. You'll see that still 13 people responded that politics is an issue for planning for climate change.
George Mason, and also the funders who pay for these very expensive surveys that we do. Thank you.
First, it is extremely important to work with partners.
Really great presentation. I think it helps to
several different disciplines participate on the review committee, as well as stakeholders that would be using the toolkit.
Illustrate the need for
created a much stronger document, and it was well received by its intended audience. On the other hand,
it also shows great guidance. I think it helps us give some guidance for
input from practitioners. We missed an important climate hazard in Minnesota, wildfires, that we will be adding.
But it's obvious that we all have a
climate change as early as 2009. We discussed observed trends in temperature and precipitation. We did not.
The primary care doctors are a key trusted resource. I think that's really great information for
empirical measured observations to show trends.
May not really think about that. And so hopefully since we're in
the realm of anthropogenic climate change and discussing future climate projections. For those of you working in
crafting some messages to help leverage,
I encourage you to work with your state or local public health department.
Thanks again, Connie. Before we go on to the next speaker, just a quick reminder to send your questions in throughout in the
and can reach a wider political audience than leading with climate.
Try to direct your question to a specific presenter or presenters.
Change. Don't reinvent the wheel. There are so many great resources.
Another poll question before we go on to the next
and resources to your communities. The Minnesota Climate and Health Program.
What do you see as the greatest barrier to action?
Resources developed thus far. It is listed on the slide, and there is a link on the right hand of the website that you can click to sign up for email updates that highlight our latest
lack of belief in human-caused climate change.
Thank you very much for allowing me to share. Some of our
causes health problems, a lack of understanding of the likelihood or severity of those health impacts, and a lack of understanding of, and I think especially the experience hard to do, please just choose one. Go ahead. Those listening sessions, I think those are great examples of what other states can do, and they can learn. Okay, great. Thanks for answering. We see some interesting results. The majority of you feel that there's a lack of knowledge that climate change causes health problems, which was reinforced, I think, by Connie's presentation. The next popular one is lack of understanding of the likelihood. That relates to the uncertainty, I think, that people have around the issue and lack of public attention. So it gives us all some motivation for our work going forward.